Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
On a Wednesday night, we get going. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for about 45 minutes or so, leading you right into Billiken's basketball. They got a big one tonight. SLU going to match up against St. Bonaventure, a battle of two 2-0 conference teams. SLU having a little bit of a renaissance here in their conference play after having a disappointing non-conference season. For St. Bonaventure, they've just been flat-out good all season long. They are 14-1 coming into this matchup tonight. So Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., they've got the call of the game, and our coverage at 6:45 with a tip-off from Chaffetz Arena at about 7 o'clock here on KMOX. Very quick, we don't have a lot of time, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but quick shout out to both Joe Pott and Jen Cease. They were in the last couple nights. I don't know. I'm not somebody who gets sick very often, and when I do get sick, I can either work through it or it's a very quick in and out. Got pneumonia on Saturday. I was diagnosed with pneumonia on Saturday. I've never had that before. It knocked me down like pretty much nothing I've ever experienced before. Knocked me down a little bit better today. Still fighting my way through. Voice isn't quite all the way there, but happy to be back working and happy to be back hosting this show. And but a shout out to those two who they each got the last minute call to come in. My plan was to work on Monday, and then I didn't. My plan was to work on Tuesday, and then I didn't. And they were able to at the last minute come in. So I certainly appreciate each of them for what they were able to do. I want to lead off with this, and maybe you could say it's a couple days old, but I haven't been here the last couple days, so I at least wanted to get into this before we move into things of the moment. And that's the reporting over the last couple days that essentially the last team that's out there right now for Nolan Arenado is the Boston Red Sox, and it is still somewhat connected to Alex Bregman, where if the Red Sox were to sign Bregman, and they reportedly are interested in him, they would not be interested at that point in Nolan Arenado, and there might not be anything out there for Arenado, and Arenado at that point would likely remain a Cardinal. So when I get things wrong, and I never run away from it, and I said multiple times that I thought there was a much better percentage chance that Arenado would be traded by Christmas than he would end up coming to camp with the Cardinals. And obviously we're past Christmas and he's still a Cardinal, and now there is a clear and obvious pathway on what can happen that can result in Arenado remaining a Cardinal. I guess if, you know, the proverbial gun to the head, if I have to choose, does Arenado get traded before spring training? I guess something happens where yes, he does, but it's not an overwhelming feeling at this point. And to be fair to my vantage point, the Cardinals did have him traded. They had him traded to Houston. He didn't want to go there. He rejected the trade. But there hasn't been quite as much interest for him as I think some people thought there might have been. And it's an interesting position for the team to be in. The thing that I would be most interested in, and actually John Mozeliak is going to be on the Countdown to Opening Day show tomorrow, and we'll see whether or not we're able to kind of, when he's talking about trading players and things like that, he tends to keep things close to the vest, even with this situation where he has openly said they're attempting to do so. And he told Tom Ackerman on Sports on a Sunday Morning this past Sunday that things are kind of quiet. But I do openly wonder, if they don't get the Arenado deal done in the offseason, does it force them, because of where they want payroll to go, does it force them to start making other moves? because when they were talking about this, when Mo specifically was talking about it at the winter meetings, he said, I'm paraphrasing, but this is pretty close to what he said. He said that there's multiple ways to get down to the payroll number that they want to get down to, but the easiest way would be to move Arenado's contract. So what that tells you is they don't move Arenado's contract. Well, then all of a sudden you might be moving some other pieces that might be able to do even more to help you win. It might not be a net gain, especially if you make a move like that, where all of a sudden you feel forced to trade a Sonny Gray if he'll accept a trade somewhere. You feel forced to trade a Ryan Helsley. And then Arenado has a fantastic start to the season, but you still want to give that, quote, runway to young players, right? You still want to get that opportunity for Nolan Gorman to play third. You still want to have an opportunity for J.J. Weatherholt when he's available to have a spot at second base. You still want to make sure that Brendan Donovan can be playing every day and you don't have to put him in the outfield to make that happen. You still want these things to happen. So if Arenado has a great start to the season and all of a sudden trade interest from other teams starts to pick up a little bit, well, what have you done? You've traded away a piece because you wanted to get under payroll. You wanted to get your payroll in a certain spot. You've traded away something that might have helped you. And then you still end up trading Arenado anyways, because that's still a contract they're going to want to move. There's this year implications to that, but there's also next year and the year beyond implications to that contract as well. So, look, it's not a great situation. It's not a great situation that they're in right now. It probably becomes a I don't know if it's bad, but it probably becomes a borderline bad situation if Alex Bregman signs with the Red Sox. If Bregman goes to the Red Sox, well, then I don't know where the Cardinals go from there, and things could end up getting kind of interesting between now and pitchers and catchers reporting. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's a call. That's a text. You can tweet at me if you would like to as well. When we return, we're going to talk with Russ Mitchell. We'll talk through the college football playoff games. They're going to begin going here over the next couple of days as we get into the semifinal round of the playoffs. We'll talk with Ross Mitchell coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We only have you for about 25 more minutes. We're going to wrap things up at about 6:45. Get you out of here for St. Louis Billikens basketball. They are in action this evening against St. Bonaventure. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. will have the call with pregame at about 6:45, tip-off from Chaffetz Arena at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, the semifinal round of the college football playoff begins with the Orange Bowl, Notre Dame-Penn State. On Friday, it's the Cotton Bowl, Ohio State against Texas, and we're very happy to welcome onto the program right now. Part of the team at collegefootballnews.com, he is Russ Mitchell. You follow him on Twitter at RussMitchellCFB. Russ, appreciate you taking some time. Happy college football playoff semifinal eve.
Mad kicking the tires, lighting the fires. I'm a little sick here, so, you know, but I'm playing through. I'm playing through it. So good to be with you.
I got you beat. I got pneumonia over the weekend, and this is my first day back. Dude. So we can be together in our sickness.
Well, you know, it's the time of the year. I've been waiting 30 years for this, so it's been, you know, I love how the playoff has transgressed. You know, I think it obviously needs some tweaks, as you know, the first time you do anything, you need a little do-over. But I'm very excited with the four teams we ended up with.
What's been the thing that you have most enjoyed about this entire playoff run?
The games at home. You know, I've been arguing for 30 years that we need to begin the process of extricating ourselves from the private promoters that own the bowl games. And, you know, I think we saw that the first weekend. Well, I think we'll quickly get to the second weekend being home games as well. And, you know, having trophy ceremonies after a quarterfinal game looks stupid. So hopefully we can evolve a little past that. Don't want to upset all of my bowl friends there.
So in your proposition, you would go two rounds at home sites before going into some of the classic bowls from the semifinals on?
Yeah, because I don't think that the bye week is that great of an advantage to college kids. And I said that, I've been saying that for several years now, and we saw an 0-4 from all the bye kids. Now, part of that is because Boise and ASU, who were underdogs, got a bye for winning the conference. I'm sure they'll fix that as well. But, you know, having that long bye is not that great of an advantage. So I think you could counteract that by having them also get that first game at home, and which I think would help tremendously. Plus, it's more exciting.
For them to make the change where they do straight seeding top four teams, whether you're a conference champion or not, gets the byes, and then it's an actual bracket after that and not this weird thing that they did this year that gave some low-ranked conference champions the first-round bye. For that to happen, it has to be a unanimous decision by the committee. Are folks from the Big 12 and the ACC going to be in on that, even though that could potentially hurt them?
No, I think pretty much everybody is talking about that right now. Almost all of the people in the Big Ten and the SEC that I've talked about it seem to agree. So I would be surprised. I don't know if it'll happen as quickly as next year, but it'll definitely happen soon. But we ended up with Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Texas, who are arguably the four best teams in the country.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're 100% right. And so at the end of the day, the whole idea of the thing is to get the best teams playing and then the best team winning. So whether you had to do some weird things to get there, you got there. So I think you're right in saying that. A little bit of a dust-up. Maybe that's too strong of a term, but it was an interesting dynamic when James Franklin is sitting there right next to Notre Dame coach Marcus Freeman, and Franklin takes the opportunity to say that every college football team should be in a conference. Every conference should play the same number of league games. Like he wanted to put his rules on college football right there. What do you take away from what James Franklin had to say?
When James Franklin came into the SEC, when he was coaching at Vanderbilt and he came to his very first SEC media days, he was talking about a ceiling. He was in the radio room, which is the smaller of the rooms, and he was talking about Vanderbilt. I think I asked him, what about the ceiling at Vanderbilt? And he said, there's no ceiling at Vanderbilt. And he got all puffed out, chest puffed out, and he stood up. He stood up. Now, you can't tell listening to me, but I'm 6'5", 270. So he stood up, so I stood up, because I don't even think. So I stood up, and then my friend Barrett Sally, who does radio as well, he grabbed me by the arm. He said, what are you going to do, fight with him right here in the middle of SEC media days? And I'm like, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. But, yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all that Jim stood up like that. He's a passionate guy, and I like Penn State in this game.
What is it? This seems to be the better of the two games. What is it about Penn State that you like?
Yeah, I think this will be the closer of the two games. I don't trust Riley Leonard's arm. I mean, he's done some remarkable things running the ball. But, you know, Penn State has the sixth best rushing defense in the nation, six. And if you're going to count on Price and Love to pick up any slack, Love hurt his knee pretty badly in the Georgia game. And I don't think you're going to get that. You know, that great of an effort out of Love. And again, the sixth best rushing defense in the country. You know, conversely, everyone wants to talk about Notre Dame's run defense. Well, Riley Mills is out with the knee. He's the team leader in sacks and tackles for loss. And Howard Cross is really banged up. We saw that also in Georgia. So, you know, this is a Notre Dame defense that was already average in run defense, is now losing Mills and Cross. And here comes Franklin with Singleton, right, and Allen. And I know it's Boise State, but they average 9 and 8 yards per carry. So this is a Penn State team. I think the injuries in this game for Notre Dame make this matchup lean towards Penn State.
Penn State has had the easiest pathway with games against SMU and Boise State to get to this point. The knock on Penn State under James Franklin is they don't win the big one. Does that not go away if they come away with a win against Notre Dame?
Well, it definitely comes away. And it helps when the team you're playing against is, you know, had one of their star running backs banged up and both of their defensive linemen banged up. I would much rather have Jim's reputation and have the opposing team missing those key players than, you know, have Nick's reputation and have all three studs playing on the other team. So, again, it's about who's playing on the field and the matchups they have. not only have they had an easier step to come in, so they're a little less banged up, they've also had two extra days. So, you know, that'll help here down the stretch as well.
The other game coming up on Friday, Ohio State and Texas. Just about everybody I see is picking Ohio State. Are you on that bandwagon?
Well, I would love to be on the Texas bandwagon because I'm an SEC guy at heart. So, but when I've spent quite a bit of time, I think the champion comes out of this game. So I've spent a little more time breaking this game down, and everything comes out being things that Texas must do. There's leeway for Ohio State on both sides of the ball, but Texas must take away the run. And I think this is probably the of all the musts, the thing that Texas will have an easier chance achieving. They're the third best run defense in the nation. So I think they can make it so Judkins and Henderson won't have the kind of days that they had, particularly against Oregon. So I think they can take away OSU's run, but they can't turn the ball over the way they've been turning it over all season. They're ranked 126 in the nation turning the ball away, whereas Ohio State's, you know, got a strong defense and fairly adept at taking the ball from the teams they play against. They must run the ball against OSU, and OSU's got the fifth best run defense in the country. When Texas played, Texas has had a fairly weak schedule. For those of your audience that don't pay that much attention to the ins and outs of the SEC, Texas has played a fairly weak schedule this year. They played Georgia twice, lost both of those games, but the key isn't just that they lost. They only averaged 29 and 31 rushing yards in both of those games, and now they got to play the fifth best run defense in the Buckeyes.
Does Will Howard get the credit that he deserves for what he's done with this team?
No. No, he doesn't. And, you know, he does a pretty good – and, by the way, Texas doesn't blitz that much. They tend to sit back and cover defense. But, you know, you've got to put – here's another thing. Texas – I'm looking at my notes here. Texas must pressure Will Howard. Will Howard leads the country in completion percentage against the blitz. We saw that against the Tennessee game. Tennessee blitzes like – one out of every three plays, Tennessee blitzes, and Ohio State just ate their lunch because Howard can handle the blitz. So Texas has to put pressure on Howard. How do they do that when the quarterback ranks number one in the country in completion percentage against the blitz? So this is not a great matchup for Texas. I like Ohio State.
He is Russ Mitchell. You read him at collegefootballnews.com. Follow him on Twitter at RussMitchellCFB. Russ, feel better. Enjoy the games. Thank you so much for taking some time with us.
I think I'm going to go sleep for like 38 hours or something like that, and then hopefully I'll be back into it.
There you go. Sounds perfect. Just don't oversleep kickoff tomorrow.
You too, Matt. You got to be careful with that pneumonia stuff. That'll bite you in the butt. It'll scar your lungs. You got to take care of yourself, Matt.
I am. Thank you, Russ.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right. Very good. That's Russ Mitchell joining us on the program. We appreciate him spending time with us. You know, we did the Gas House Gang earlier today, and it was Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, and myself. Tom's calling college basketball tonight. He's doing the Southern Illinois Belmont game, which is being played in Nashville. That game should be just getting underway about now. Yeah, he's doing that game tonight on ESPN Plus. He's fighting a cold. I've got this thing. Just everybody is sick right now. Nobody can be healthy. All right, we've got one more segment. Hopefully, speaking of health, hopefully the Billikens can be healthy tonight as they match up against St. Bonaventure. This is a big game tonight for SLU. We'll preview that. We'll talk about some other things. And I'm going to go non-sports for a second, and I'm going to join the loud chorus of, like, everybody in St. Louis complaining about the fact that the road conditions could be a little better. I'm going to discuss that coming up in just a moment. I'm going to veer off the sports path. But we'll wrap up a Graybar Sports Open Line coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. Just a few minutes left on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Tomorrow night, countdown to opening day show, 6 to 8. John Mozeliak is going to be our featured guest, Mike Claiborne and myself. We'll talk with Mo probably for 30 minutes or so as on tomorrow's show, and then we've got a few other things to get to as well. So I know this is Sports Open Line. It's not Chris and Amy. It's not the Dave Glover Show. So, but let me veer off the sports path for just a moment, if you will indulge me. I'm going to essentially repeat what many other people are saying. Is it that hard to have a plan to remove snow from roads? Like I grew up here. I left for 20 years. And I came back 2.5 years ago or so. And this is really the first big snowstorm that we've had in that time. I don't remember the lack of cleanup being this way. And I want to be very clear. This is not an attack on the snowplow drivers themselves. They are working really, really hard. And I appreciate them. It's the plans. It's the planning. It's the staffing. It's just... Yeah, I got sick on Saturday, so I didn't leave my house on Sunday or Monday. I went out for the first time yesterday. Snow had been over for a full day, and the roads were still terrible. Schools have been out of session for 3 straight days. Now, shout out to the city of Chesterfield, which is where I live. The roads that the city of Chesterfield actually maintains, they know what they're doing. Now, admittedly, they don't have as big of roads and things like that. It's probably a little bit of an easier job. But the roads that the city of Chesterfield maintains, they're all perfect. They're all great. And then you get out on the roads that the county maintains, and you get out onto the roads that the state maintains, and it's just terrible. It's terrible. There are highway exits off 40 where it looks like a snowplow has not even yet gone on it. I don't know the staffing situation. I am the least qualified person in the world to talk about this, but I also know I've lived in other places. I've lived in Wisconsin. I've lived in Colorado. I've lived in Iowa. I've lived all over. And this is a very unique, I don't know if I've ever seen in any place that I've lived, snow come down and the roads just be terrible for the most part in many places for the next 60 hours after the snow is over. I don't get it. Whoever's in charge of this, figure it out. Because schools should not be out of session for 3 straight days because you can't get snow picked up. Again, double shout out. Shout out to the plow drivers. I know you folks are working hard, tirelessly, men and women behind those wheels. Thank you so much for what you got to do and going out there. I'm sorry that you're not working for people who have a better plan in it. And yeah, where the city I live in, Chesterfield, the city, the roads that they maintain, like on my side street, I bet I've seen a plow come by. Our roads are completely clear and plows and ice trucks and stuff are still coming through on like twice a day. So good for them. So shout out to the good folks in Chesterfield. All right, Billiken's basketball tonight. We've got it for you here on KMOX. It's going to be a fun one. This is going to be a really fun one. I'm excited to see how it's going to look, how it's going to sound, because the Billiken's have kind of turned it around here. I'm a big believer that when you are a team that goes into a season with expectations and you don't meet those expectations in non-conference, it can kind of go bad for you. And I think that's what happened with the Billikens, where the end of non-conference play, that, you know, the loss against Wofford and the loss against Grand Canyon, I know there's some calls that could have gone different directions and things like that, but it just felt like the non-conference kind of petered out and they really needed to reignite. And they got the opportunity to do that when conference play started. They won a game away from Chaffetz Arena for the first time with that win against Fordham. Looked really impressive in their win against St. Joseph's on Friday. And now they're going to match up against a team tonight in St. Bonaventure that is also undefeated in league play. But more importantly, a team that's 14-1 overall. And we can talk about their schedule. They haven't played. They have a Utah State, they played, and that's their loss. They lost to a Utah State team that was receiving votes. That's probably their best game. They beat Northern Iowa. That's not a bad win. But, yeah, this is going to be fun tonight. So, if you're looking for something to do this evening, I know there's still a good number of tickets available for the game tonight, especially with the students still out. So, looking forward to seeing what's going to happen tonight. It's the Billikens and the Bonnies as SLU looks for a 3-0 start to Atlantic 10 play here in Josh Church's his first year. Appreciate you being tuned in again tomorrow night. It is the Countdown to Opening Day show. Mike Claiborne and myself will come your way from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. But don't go anywhere. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., they've got the call of Bilkins basketball next here on KMOX.